star that blinked. But that was it. That's it for the Avatar. That's all he had to do. You know, hey, that's it. Whatever happens, happens. You know. And you see it in the movie, back home, all these people going live, you know. And you think, well, that's so little. And I know when I set out for the Indian 62, we had to pay so much money then. We were only going for a week, really, 5 days. And people were, what? You're going to spend all that money to go to India in 5 days? Screw you. You have no idea. I would go anywhere just for a moment. And it's like the Sufi Rumi said, you know, 1 minute in the presence of a perfect one is equal to 100 years of penance or whatever.
Penance and prayer.
Penance and prayer. 100 years of penance and prayer isn't even anything. You know, what's that? It's that one moment with Bob, and I really feel that of all the times, you know, I mean, beautiful, groovy times, I think that one moment, that first look at Father and his first look at you, that's it. And if people say, oh, I only saw Bob for a moment, then that's it. I mean, it's nice to be with Bob, but I think that's what he said was true. At first, you could symbolize it by saying that. It's like if he found someone in a terrible tangle of ropes and nets and everything, like you find an animal trapped in a terrible cage or something. And all he does is just open the cage and one little bit and you step out. It only took a moment. Well, you spent, you know, how many or getting yourself in. So for the master, just 1 second, 1 fraction of a second is enough to give you what he wants you to give, what he wants you to have. And all the rest is kind of expressing his love for you so that you remember that. Because you're not able, really, I think, to realize what Baba did to you in 1 second. And still, it's like a Dell system. And it was like a gift in a box, and I'm still opening. You know, I feel that way. I still don't know what all that Baba gave me in that one moment. And to help embrace me. And he said, do you love me? Yes, Father. And he said, do you know where that love is coming from? And at that moment, I felt the love coming from him and going through my own heart and back to him. And so I've never again felt that I love Father. I don't love Father. It's his love that he decided, you know, to give me, and I'm just giving it back to him. You know, he opened the valve in here, see, so that his grace can go back, you know, which in the Tao, they say the circulation of the lightning and all this mystical stuff. But basically, Baba, and he said that in the Life at His Death, it, love for God is God's gift to man. And he forgets the gift so that he can enjoy the love in the world. And even now, I see that I'm feeling more and more that Baba didn't even give that love to me. For me. You know, I've thought all these years, well, follow love me and be there. I'm just here to pass it on. I'm not, you know, it was, he didn't give it just for me, so I mean, to fill it, you know, but it goes on and on. You know, and that's really what God is doing, because it, we're all just, we're like pipes, you know. And it's all one big system that he wants to get going. You know, it's your valve that it just goes through here and then through here. No, it isn't really for you. Oh, it seems great. And so then he said, I get mixed up just completely. I was at that day and the next it, but basically, I've heard about you from Elizabeth and Marina and this one and that one, and also heard you from within. Mm-hmm. All your feelings, all of, you know, the cries, the mama from within, all these 10 years. See, I waited. I heard about mama at 42 and met her in 52. That's almost 10 years, about 9 years. So, I mean, you know, lots of things went on between mama and me and my latest years. And Bob acknowledged, you see, that he heard me, of course, that was beautiful. And then he gestured that I should. It's beautiful how I understood Bob's gestures without the board, forgetting what it was, but I knew that I should go and meet Mary and Lonnie and his girl. So I walked over the bridge to the guest house. And there met Mayor for the first time. And I tell you, second to meeting Bob, and meeting Mayor was the next experience. And Lonnie, sisters, quite young men, and Mayru, Dr. Goer, Ronald, and Kitty. Those were the women, and they were in the guest house. And later on, then Mandy. But that first morning with meeting the women was very beautiful. And I don't remember the rest of the day too much till we got to the evening. And Baba told Adele and I were on the center with Baba's guests. And we stayed in that little cabin next to the guest house. And Baba called us over in the evening to be with the women. Sit around him. And there again, the guest house seems awful small now to stay there. The sea light was his women and one or two others that were here. Margaret, of course, was here, and Delia. And I think Jean was there. I think it was a little bit. Well, anyway, we sat around all of them. And that was the when we had the first taste of Baba. Is an intimate one. Being with him with the women, it was very special. I say, I'm glad I took the feminine body. The men have their thing, I know, but I think the women have the best of it. Because you can really let it all out. You can see Bob and your beloved. You know, it just works good. And then we saw Baba with Mira. They always heard about Mira and all that, but to see Baba in relation to Mira and how he treated her and how she was just so absorbed in him. She was, Baba said, the purest soul in the universe. And the purity showed in her love for Baba. You know, it was just, well, that's the way it should be. And so we sat with Baba. He did his thing that he laughs with you and jokes with you and teases you. I don't really remember exactly all the things. It was just a feeling. I do remember that father turned around and said to me, Phyllis looks to me Egyptian and Persian. So he was recalling some connection. I remember now, coming back, I'm not really that forgetful. In the afternoon of that first day, Bob did call us to the house, the guest house, right after lunch. I guess Adele, you remember that too. And we had brought gifts for the girls and for Baba. And Baba knew that. I came in with this ridiculous bundle. Well, you know that those pictures by Imai. Baba wore this little fake fur jacket. You know, and I'd always heard he had a jacket because it's so cold, you know, when he came to England. So I had made him a fake fur jacket. But it was white, that kind of white bunny person. And I lined it with blue, Christian blue. And I said, Baba, he's so sweet when he accepts gifts. You could give him the worst mess in the world. So he got up and he put it on. He's so precious. And then I said, Baba, it's reversible. So then he got his training around him, and I thought afterwards, I made Baba go smaller. And then I had known what Baba's size foot was, and I knew that in the new life it could not touch his feet. That had been different. And so I thought, well, I'll get around that. So I bought a pair of sandals for Baba. And they were just the right size, and Baba let me put them on his feet. So I slipped them on his feet, Baba had the most beautiful feet in the world. We had beautiful everything, my hands and feet were especially fantastic. His feet were just like alabaster, they were perfect. And of course the girls get them just funny. Had them up on that little table that's there in the So, and then I had other gifts for the girl, fabric, you know, cloth for the sari, and they were all like this. And then Adele, you had made for Baba a handkerchief, a purple handkerchief or something. And that was so cute, Baba liked that so much. And then he tucked it into the pocket of his jacket. You know, and I felt like he was tucking you in the pocket. And then another time, not this particular day, I don't think, but Delia had come from London. London's a pretty miserable place, climate down, and completely different from Myrtle Beach. And they had been here months before, and she experienced Myrtle Beach weather. Yeah. So she'd written me a desperate letter for some summer clothes. And I'd gone to Bloomingdale or something, and I bought her a seersucker suit. She was very petite. And, I bought her a seersucker jacket, and Baba had seen it. And this is something Baba always did. When you sent something to anybody with him, they weren't allowed to have it. It was given to Baba, and then he decided what would happen. So they opened this package, took out the jacket, and put it on. And he loved it. It was just the right thing. It fit him perfectly, and the seersucker was cool, you know, because we're all being people. So he, a couple of days, he was wearing the seersucker. And, you know, so that's the gift. And then, Baba, I'm just recalling him that, you know, I'm not getting beyond the first day, am I?
Did he win the seersucker?
No, when Baba had come. And then we were called in again, and the girls had laid out, had given some of their things, like necklaces and jewelry and things, little things that they had. And Baba then said, we should choose for Adele. Remember that? One of these things for us. And I picked a little silver wire pin, pointed to it, and then Baba touched it and held it right there and gave it to me. And I said, now what did you raise it? That was the first day with Baba. Then the second day, we had a chance for a private interview with Baba. All alone, no man knew him, Baba. No man knew. So we had a chance for all alone with Baba. That was the one chance we had. And that was pretty simple. I don't even remember either the first or the second day who the mandolin was. That was a strange thing. People always ask about the silence of Baba, but it just never even occurs to you, Baba said. You don't even remember the voice of the mandolin, though. It's like Baba. And the silence was so beautiful. Anyway, the few words, you know, the mandolin. So I don't know who the mandolin. Baba sent him out and suggested me wanted to say something, like if there was any real private to tell God. And I couldn't think of anything. I was so happy being there. I was just, the kids say, pussing out. What am I going to say? And Father said, do you have anything to say? And then I heard the words inwardly, but then Paul clapped his hands for the man to come back and read the boy. And I sort of knew about what he said. He said, those who ask for nothing get everything. And then, so I was sitting there, two thoughts came up in the bottom. First, Father brought him up. You think your thoughts, but this is a very strange thing. And Father suddenly realized that everything you do is he doing it, especially the thoughts. See, you think you're thinking your thoughts, like right now you're thinking your own thoughts. Not you at all, it's Father thinking of it. When you sit with Father, you know it. So he bubbled up this one thought in the head. And it was like, why did I go through all that I did? You know, why all that? And Baba silently answered me. He took and just held it like that. And I could feel. It was like a blood transfusion on my spiritual. You know, I could feel his blood going down through me and around and up into him again. I felt his suffering. So that was the answer. I think that's the answer to any question. Why did it all happen to me? If you ask Father then, it's his suffering. And you went through. And he shares like that. And so you wipe out anything about it, you know, anymore. And Bob had later on in the other times with him would say, I'll give you a small example. This was in 58 where he actually verbalized it. I had a bad hip and I had a bad hip for a long time. And Bob said, how's your hip? Because I had fallen in the center and hurt myself. Nobody knew it, but Baba called me right away. He said, how'd you? I said, Baba fell out again. And Baba looked at me long. It seemed like forever. And his eyes were cool. I give you a bit of my infinite suffering. And that was like when he took my arm, you know. And sort of by feeling his suffering, the Christ suffering. In you, and he felt your suffering, and now you feel his suffering. It's all one, and you get—I can't describe. You get the meaning of it. I don't know how to verbalize that, but it's like—it's not really suffering anymore. It's not that personal. Why the hell would I have to go through that feeling? Or why all that bonked out to me? Why? Then the second question that came in my head was. I wanted to ask Father, and I think I verbalized, it's hard to remember now because I say it with the silence. I don't know whether I spoke or I didn't have to speak or whether Baba spoke or he didn't have to speak. I said, Baba, I always want you as my master till the very end, meaning the end, the ultimate end, you know, God realization, whatever you want to call it. And Baba, because that is a thought in me, I suppose in any. You know, one life isn't going to be it. We know it's a whole of a long trip. And wonder in the next life, in the other lives, you know, who, how you will be helped and who, by whom. And you always want, I want to say, Baba, I want you. I don't want anything else. So that was like, and made me feel that it doesn't matter, you know, he will always be the one. Or like the sister said, he'll be the merchant, or he'll be the guru, or whatever. He'll be the one till the very end. And Baba sent, you know, he sent Jean Avery on her beautiful camera. I will be with you till the very end. And that doesn't mean the end, you know, you drop this body in your next life. I'll be with you till the end. where am I? I once figured out how exactly how much time I spent with Vino. Counted the hours you were with Baba. 40 days exactly.
40 days?
All from the beginning of it, too.
Including all the minutes. Oh, come on,
but maybe it's time for questions. I can go on for
it. It just real related to what you're saying that how Baba gives you the experience of suffering, you know, and how he takes upon himself your suffering. Do you remember that one evening, I don't know even which evening it was, we spent how many evenings on hold did we spend with the Holy Spirit? The Holy
Spirit.
Yeah. One evening, Baba sitting in the guest house with this very fine, beautiful painting about him. The painting that was there.
Oh, yes, that beautiful painting.
And I was looking at it, and then suddenly I was overwhelmed with crying. I didn't know why. It was just Baba was allowing me to experience some of that suffering, and then he said, "What do you think of me crying?" And I said, "But I had the experience of the burden that you are carrying. So I feel this that you are suffering for us." And then he played the game soon after that.
Yes.
But it's very what Phyllis said is that experience of many of us sometimes Father gave us a little glimpse of how he is the one that takes upon himself for all of his suffering. I thought that was really significant point in for him.
Well, I remember in 56 several times, I don't remember exactly 52, but he would go like this. I am the Christ, undoubtedly.
Yeah.
And I suffer eternally and constantly everywhere. But my bliss sustains me. You know, when Baba did that, it wasn't just to remind us. It was like maybe at that moment he was getting fantastic. I mean, it's like you could see it on his face.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be light and happy with us, or this and that, but then suddenly, and I always wished that, you know, I envied his paintings, could paint a little bit. Strangely enough, not too many of them would paint in the suffering face of Father. But he would just be transformed into, well, you know, the painters of the Middle Ages, I think, and that's the problem with suffering of Christ. Yeah, lots of people. I thought that I would cry when he met Baba. It's strange that I didn't.
But you know, when you came out in the moon cabinet to meet Baba, we were waiting on the terrace.
Yeah,
and that distance, you know, where the dining room was now, there was a terrace. I could feel what you were feeling. And I started to cry.
You did the choir for me. Oh, I think the funniest story about crossing, this was in 1956, when Baba was in New York. He did stop in New York for a few days at Hotel Delmonico and did darshan. And there was a doctor, a woman doctor, Monica something, Dr. Monica, who was the Winterfeld's doctor and a couple of two very fine chiropractors all with the family. I suggest them. And she'd heard about Baba from the patients, you know. She was a psychiatrist too, and very intellectual. And, you know, she just was coming out of curiosity to see what these mad moms people were interested in. Well, there were two rooms here in the clinic. The reception room and the room where Baba was receiving people. So people who had met Baba or were waiting to meet Baba were in the reception room. And a lot of them were sobbing and crying. Either because they met Baba or because they were going to meet Baba. You know? As she was standing there, and then I forget, blanked out a bit of time, and the next time I saw her, she was standing in the middle of her room. I'm coughing, but I mean, she was crying. Baba had his own little games, you know.
Didn't even say, I'd like to see the man that would make me cry.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah.
And then she came down and I was
going, even before you were
sitting down. Yeah,
so Baba had a way of shaking up. And another story about crying was Ruana Bogusha. And she was a woman who really was almost masculine in her fantastic bravado. She was an opera singer. You know, she was very strong personality. She used to smoke a cigar. She was carrying her eyes. And so she met Bob. She had a daughter. And this was in Cannes, France. And when she met Bob, she just turned into a lake. For 2 weeks, she cried. For 2 weeks, she just, and Baba was so tender with her, you know, he would just, you know, everything was, so it was all right for her, and everybody took care of her. And here's a big, strong woman, she earned her own living, taking care of her daughter, and gone through, you know, and here Baba treated her like a child that just needed help and protection, and she was crying all the time. I remember Rita telling me that. So one day, said to Baba, why are you so good to me and my daughter? Because you were so kind to me long ago in Egypt. And I always thought that was interesting. See, Baba said to me, I knew you when you were in Egypt. You were crying. And Baba said, I may be all of you. That is the release of the sincerity, right? That like he's washing away the sincerity with those tears, and they're really not like ordinary tears.
Well, I wrote to Mom and asked him why I cried so hard, you know. But he didn't say it, he didn't answer it that way. He said it was my overflowing love for him or something. Because of other stuff. And I didn't know it, he didn't tell me.
Anyway, it's after you've met Baba yourself. I think the second most interesting thing is watching it. And we all had that privilege after a while, you know, that I'm the wife that we're lucky enough to be part of Baba's family. And that's something else I wanted to bring up, because in those many years before Baba came, you know, we with Narina's work, and then we started the Monday night group, and you know, we all tried to keep the group rolling. And we always had people who would come in and say, they hear about Baba, and then they'd go off. They didn't like us, or they didn't like the group, or the, you know, whatever. People get into this. They just wanted to be by themselves with Baba off somewhere. And we didn't bother with them, you know, in the sense of saying, you must be in a group, or neither did Baba say you must be in a group. So I noticed one thing. When Baba actually came, and this was true all through the Sava, that those who had stuck together, group in a large sense, I don't mean but you come Monday night, not 8 o'clock. But just that we were like a family, that we bore with each other and all our little whatever rubbings, you know, that we had formed the links with each other and were close to each other. And Baba made use of that, like he called for